Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we're stronger and wiser. We never would have made it without you. We give you praise and thanksgiving and ask that you continue to speak to our hearts and souls and minds as we worship you in spirit and in truth and give you thanks. Illuminate our hearts to hear a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Alexis another hand. Amen. Thank you. And let me thank you at the outset for what you do on behalf of our children and our young people here at this church. They are outstanding. Let's give all of our youth a hand. Praise be to God. I want to say that truly we're blessed by having the opportunity to allow these young people to share in worship and in the context text of praising God from whom all blessings flow. And around the sanctuary, we have several who are participating in various activities in school. So if they come and ask you to help support them in any endeavor, just out of the goodness of your heart, find a way to do it or still encourage them. If you're not able to support them in whatever endeavor they're trying to do and participate. It's so important. It's so important to continue to make a connection on behalf of Jesus Christ and our young people, especially in this day and time in which we live. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, I want to call your attention to an article, and I'm asked this contemporary crowd to help me, and hopefully by now you've read this article by Aaron Earle. It was in the faith section of yesterday's newspaper, the Daytona Beach News Journal, and it talks about Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. How many of you play Pokemon Go by a show of hands? Look at there. Look at there. Now, how many of you really play it, but you're in church and you don't want to admit it? All right. All right, all right. How many of you know nothing about it? Oh. Well, you're going to know a little bit about it this morning because it is fascinating. And it's a way for us to connect as it relates to this article here by Aaron Earle, who is a pastor in the Washington, D.C. area and who has his own children around ages 12 and 14. And so he also have youth who are part of his church that plays Pokemon Go as well as adults. And listen to this very carefully because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Amen. Let me just read excerpts. The game relies on players visiting local landmarks, including malls, cemeteries, department stores, churches, and various parking lots. This could be good news for those who are trying to reach this generation. Amen. According to Pew Research, a research company that looks at how churches can make a difference and evangelize in creative ways, a third of millennials are religiously unaffiliated. That means they have no church community. And they are more likely to have a negative view of church. Could that change now that Pokemon Go is literally driving players out of their homes and to the very doorsteps of churches? Some players have said their first trip in years to a church building happened because of the game. Every church should be prepared to greet folks who are playing Pokemon Go. In fact, you will greet them one way or the other. You'll greet them with a smile. You'll greet them with a snack. You'll greet them, as some churches are doing, with a gift. Or you'll greet them because now you don't know why they're on your property with a cell phone and looking. But it could be a fascinating way and a positive way for us to connect with this generation, to have a conversation, to welcome them to come to the church of God and worship Him. And it goes on talking about creative ways that we can do this. And then he adds, from a pastor's standpoint, in section D6, don't play Pokemon Go while in church. Amen. Amen. Pokemon Go reminds us that indeed there are people who play this game and yet they get distracted. You've heard about those who have ended up in a zoo beyond the normal hours, or even two young guys who fell off a cliff because they were playing this game. It's a game. But it also, we should look at it as a game that we should play responsibly. Amen? And we're reminded, if you look at that word, Pokemon Go, that last word, go. You have your Bibles, look at Matthew, the 28th chapter. It's the key word in the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Jesus told us to what? To go and make disciples. Yes, there are going to be moments when those who are playing that game are going to be distracted, and we hope that nothing happens to them that will bring harm on them or someone else. Bless you. But we should be sensitive to the fact that perhaps this is another way that we can connect them with the body of Christ and with the church. Another way of offering Christ to those who normally wouldn't darn the church doors. It's about all making disciples for Jesus Christ. That is our purpose, and that is our desire as a church, to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Don't let those things that distract us, that want to hinder us, stop us from fulfilling our calling in life. Amen? In fact, I want you to look at the book of Nehemiah. If you look at Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, you will notice. And if you read the book of Nehemiah in its entirety, in its 13 chapters, that in the book of Nehemiah, you won't read about any shootings. You won't read about any battles. You won't read about any wars. But in the book of Nehemiah, you have a lot of what? Talk. A lot of talk. You remember that childhood riddle? Sticks and stones shall what? May break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, we do know that words do hurt. Amen? And if you look at the book of Nehemiah in its entirety and see how Nehemiah responded to his enemies, to his haters, and those who were trying to attack him, he would not allow them to distract him from doing what God called him to do. He was not even distracted because they wanted to intimidate him. If you look closely in chapter 6, but to cut to the chase, if you look in chapter 6 and verse 9, you'll see how Nehemiah dealt with his bullies and those who wanted to intimidate him. Nehemiah responded through what? Prayer. Through prayer. Through communicating to Almighty God. Was, who is Nehemiah? Look to your neighbor and ask the question, who is Nehemiah? Who is Nehemiah? I'm glad you asked. Nehemiah, Hebrew name, means Yahweh comforted. Yahweh is getting ready to comfort his people and to comfort his servant Nehemiah. But if you want to write this definition down, he was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, a leader of the Jews who was responsible for rebuilding of Jerusalem after the return from a Babylonian captivity. It was Nehemiah who felt God had called him to go forth to rebuild the walls that were now in ruins. And here he is in chapter 6, rebuilding the walls brick by brick. He is working faithfully with God's people and establishing the rebuilding of the walls. And if you look in chapter 6, you notice in the very first few verses, Nehemiah says, even though I haven't established the gates yet, The walls were going up. God's people were doing what God called them to do and to be, and they were not distracted. And yet, if you look closely, you'll see that indeed, the enemies were not far away from Nehemiah and those who were rebuilding the wall. In fact, I want to call your attention to this passage of Scripture because it's so important for our everyday lives, and it reminds us not to worry about those who want to criticize us, who want to put us down, who want to be bullies. Don't worry about that. Keep focus. Keep focus as you what? Just stay on the wall. They were determined to stay on the walls. In fact, the Scripture reminds us to be consumed and keep our focus. The Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They were encouraged to look unto whom? Jesus. To keep their eyes on Jesus. Now there's a passage in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it reminds us of how we as Christians should respond as it relates to going about our task, going about our calling, going about our commission to do God's will. It says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be what? Steadfast. Keep reading. Movable. What else? Always abiding in the work of the Lord. Know your labor is what? Not in vain. It is not in vain. What we do for God is not in vain. We're not wasting time. We're not just getting distracted and doing other things. What we're doing, we're making disciples for Jesus Christ, and it is not in vain. I don't know about for you, but that's good news. It's good news to know that I can exercise my faith and that is not in vain. I can put my faith in practice and it's not in vain. Look at the next bullet point. It's this point here. What role does faith play in your what? Efforts to serve Christ. What role does faith actually play in your day-to-day responsibilities as disciples of Jesus Christ? What is faith? I'm glad you asked. If you have your Bibles, look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter in the first verse. It reminds us that faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Nehemiah had faith in God. And he was determined to continue to rebuild the walls. Here, let me give you the substance of what was going on in the text. The jealous non-Israelite officials opposed Nehemiah's effort to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. However, his deep faith in God kept him and the walls on track. Never allow anyone to throw you off track. Look to your neighbor and say, stay on track. If you're a positive person, continue to be a positive person. You're going to meet some people who can't see anything good, who are not positive, who don't have a positive outlook on life. It can happen at any moment, at any time. Not in this church. Thank you, sir. You heard Beverly and Gordon, and they stood right here, and you heard what they shared as they strolled down memory lane. It was Gordon who looked at his lovely wife, and he looked at his lovely wife, and it was what? Love at first sight. Well, I was seated right over there, right behind Frank, and I said to Linda, wow, that's opposite. We're going to be married on August 17 for 31 years, and when you noticed me, it was love at first sight. Well, let me give you her response. Her response was, only in your mind. Yeah. It reminds me of a married couple. This guy was a grouch. It didn't matter what his wife did, how she prepared the meals. He was always complaining. He wanted breakfast early in the morning. She would get up early in the morning. And she would cook him breakfast. One morning, she boiled eggs
And she placed those eggs in front of him. And guess what that rascal said? I wanted scrambled eggs this morning. Well, the next morning, not to be outdone, she made scrambled eggs. And guess what that rascal said? I wanted boiled eggs. Well, as you well know, and I must admit it, women, 9 out of 10, or 10 out of 10, ladies, are smarter than... I didn't say that. You said that. Yeah. So the next morning, she got up, and guess what she did? She cooked one boiled egg and one scrambled egg. She presented it to him, and guess what that rascal said? You scrambled the wrong eggs and you boiled the wrong eggs. Some people are just so critical. Just so critical. Doesn't matter what you do, Mr. Child, they're just critical. You look at this passage in Nehemiah, the 6th chapter. He is Nehemiah going about his task, doing the work of God. And Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobias. They come and they create this scheme. They try and whet his appetite. They sent a messenger. Why don't you come and meet with us? Remember, they're the enemies of Nehemiah. And they don't want the walls to what? To go up. And they send messengers after messengers 4 times. And Nehemiah responded the same way. I'm doing a what? A great work. And I can't come down. Why should he stop and come down to deal with all 3 of his enemies? Nehemiah sent the same message that he was doing a great work. And why should I come down, in essence, to meet with you? There are some people who love meetings. And they love to meet just to meet, to talk about the meeting that is not going to solve anything. But they just want to meet. And look at the way Nehemiah responded to his critics. He acknowledged that he was doing a great work. And he wasn't coming down just to meet with them. And so look what they decided to do. They decided to come together and they rigged a plot. And they sent out another messenger, but I don't want you to miss it. Look closely if you have your Bibles. Look at Nehemiah, the 6th chapter, around verses 5 and 6. They sent a what? An open letter. It would be just an unsealed letter. And if you remember in the biblical days, if a letter was of significance or of importance, they would what? Seal the letter. But they sent an unsealed letter, giving opportunities for the messengers, for the runners to read the message. And the context tense of the message consisted of this. They were saying to Nehemiah, we know why you're building the wall. You're going to create an all-time opposition against the king. And then if you read closely, you'll see that they said to Nehemiah that you want to become king. And we're going to get word back to King Artaxerxes and let him know in Persia that you want to take over. That is your plot. That is your scheme. But friends, thanks be to God. When you know the Lord, you keep your eyes focused on him. Look how Nehemiah responded to these rascals. If you look closely in the text, Nehemiah was not taking the bait, if you will. The first bait was to come to Ono. Ono, if you look closely in biblical history, Ono was 20 miles north of Jerusalem. He was inviting them to come to St. Augustine, come to a resort area and chill out and meet with us. He didn't bite it, didn't take the bait. But then they wanted to criticize him. Now, they had already criticized him previously. And if you read back in several chapters, you'll see there in chapter 1, they didn't just wait. But here in chapter 6, they claimed that he wanted to be king. And this hurt Nehemiah at his very core, at his very being. Why? Because he was worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wasn't trying to be king. He was obeying the king. And if you look closely in the text, the heat is on now. And Nehemiah is told by his good friend to what? To run for his life. And if you keep reading in chapter 6, you'll see where Nehemiah had faith in God. And let me share with you the 3 points. Number one, it was the call and commission of Nehemiah to do the work of God. He had faith in God. Even his friend wanted him to go and hide himself in the temple, and Nehemiah would not go into the temple. Why? Because he was not a priest, and he was not a Levite, and it wasn't the time for worship. And he would not defile the temple of God. But Nehemiah decided that he would what? Pray to God and communicate with his God. He had a spirit of discernment. You look at chapter 6 in its entirety and you'll see where Nehemiah had the spirit of discernment. Each and every one of us must ask God to give me the spirit of discernment, because God's spirit of discernment will remind us that we need to read between the lines. Why? Point number 2, right here. Satan will try every trick in his arsenal to get you to come down, but just stay on the what? On the wall. Stay in position to look up to Jesus. Satan will try every trick in the book. Here they are now criticizing him, using their mouths and talking and speaking words against Nehemiah. Perhaps they didn't read it. I don't know. You read a proverb a day in January. If you have your Bibles, look at Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Verses 16 through 19. I want you to look at that, and I'm going to read it for you. Listen to these words that these boys must have missed Sunday school. Proverbs 6, starting with the 16th verse. Listen to my translation. These 6 things that the Lord hates, yes, 7, are an abomination to him. A proud look. I want you to look at me and say the words after me. A proud look. Don't look to your neighbor. A lying tongue. Look straight ahead. Hands that shed any innocent blood. A heart that deceive and create wicked plans. Don't look at anyone's shoes. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speak lies, and one who sows discourse among his brothers and sisters. Right here in the Word of God, Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem should have read Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. They had the Old Testament. That's not even dealing with the New Testament. It reminds us that our tongues, the words that we share, can also come back on us. Amen? If you look at close at Nehemiah and how Nehemiah responded, he responded by staying connected with God. He responded by continuing to work on the wall, brick by brick. Nehemiah was never distracted so much so as not to complete the task that God called him to complete. If you read the 6th chapter and you'll look in the book of Nehemiah around the 16th verse, Nehemiah completed the project in 52 days. The walls went up and the gates were established because they did it for the glory of God. Amen? And that's what we're called to do. To do our responsibility, to respond to what God called us to do and to be for the glory of God. Not our glory, but for the glory of Almighty God. Let me close and ask the praise band to come at this time. as we're going to get ready to sing a hymn, it reminds me of this passage from Nehemiah. It's about Russell K. Carter. Russell K. Carter, as he was going to school, you young people hear this well, academically, he was very successful. Athletically, he was very successful. Later on, he earned a scholarship to go to college. He did extremely well. He became a teacher, and later on, he was called into the ministry. But at the age of 30, he was diagnosed with a disease that the doctors couldn't cure. And so he fell on his knees and he prayed to God. He said, God, I'll stand for you regardless if I live or die. And he continued to meditate on his prayer to God. How many of you know that God will answer prayer by a show of hands? And he prayed to God. And God answered his prayer, and God allowed him to live 49 more years. But out of his prayer came this hymn, and it was his hymn song, Standing on the Promises of God. That's the last third point in our sermon notes. We need to stand on the promises of God 24/7. 24 hours, 7 days a week, standing on the promises of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Stay on the wall. Be faithful to God, and God will help you to make it.